All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? The weather outside might be frightful, but hey, inside, all delightful. Nick, Barry, Joel, present way back Wednesday. Everything, I would say, going swimmingly. See what I did there with the water outside? Time for us all to gem on as we did a little switcheroo-ski. We had initially thought that our theme today for Way Back Wednesday was going to be songs that get you pumped up for football season. And then it became apparent to me this morning when I was up way too early that today would have been Michael Jackson's birthday. So instead, we decided as a group, today we will honor the king.
So, yeah. So we're not going to be competitive.
Great decision.
For obvious reasons.
Because
Nick's bots are pissed.
Nick is a
Richard.
He, as soon as you were like, hey guys, it's Michael Jackson, bad Thriller, beat it. I was like, whoa, bro, let him finish the text. Yeah. Like, Nick had his list in and
finished it with Suck It, which was like, okay.
Record time. And then you guys fought about what the procedures are via email or text. And I was like, hey, man, for once, I was the one that wasn't competitive. I was like, I thought we were just going to do a list together, man.
Sure. He saw my list, knew that I was going to win, and now you don't want to compete against each other.
No,
the other thing, Nick, is you realize you and I both had lists in, so he was getting the ass bottom anyway.
Did you guys never think for a second that I didn't let you get your list in first? Because you always bitch and make jokes about how I'm always
the
first one to get mine in. So I
we're letting you go off on this diatribe right now.
I let you guys get your list in because I'm a nice guy.
Turn over a new leaf today? Just asking a question.
All right, I'm going to kill the mood already. We've had 3 minutes into the show, and here was my thought driving in this dreary, ugly, rainy day. Do you think if Michael Jackson was alive today that we would celebrate him the way we do based on the current environment that we live in with sexual harassment, with pedophilia and the Me Too movement and the issues in Hollywood? I know I'm killing the mood, but I was thinking about that and thinking, we still hold this guy in such high regard, even though there was so much smoke. There was never fire. I never heard anything that just came out and said that he touched a kid, but he settled out of court several times. There were the nanny and stuff were talking about how they would walk in and there would be kids sleeping in the bed. But we tend to just let that go, and I don't really understand that. I don't know why, as a society, we're okay with that.
So
time? But here's the thing. Louis C.K. just stepped on the stage of the Comedy Cellar, and everyone's losing their mind about it. But yet, we're all like, oh, Michael, Ma, we miss him. The guy that was accused of diddling kids so many times, we really miss him. But Louis C.K.
I don't think it changes the reputation of the King of Pop. I think you may say he bowed out at the right time so that he avoided all that. But until you had, and unless you had, people like Macaulay Culkin or Corey Haim or whoever they were, step up, stand up, and say, hey, me too. And then, like you said, whether things were handled out of court or whatever, those people, once they handle it out of court, aren't speaking up. They're not allowed to. So unless you had people that could verify and clarify, I don't think it takes away from him being, from a musical standpoint, the King of Pop.
Okay.
You do.
I think where there's smoke, there's fire. And we've said that 1,000 times about athletes. Why would we not say the same thing about Michael Jackson?
Because you got to have proof.
Well, I mean, that doesn't stop us.
I think it would have just taken one more incident because he already had two before he passed away. And then it would have taken one more incident to make it a Cosby-like situation, I think.
His settlement.
In terms of his career being ruined.
I just Googled
it. But the thing is, he had so many residuals and stuff like that. I'm not sure. I think he would have been in a better place than Cosby, at least from a financial standpoint. But a career, like, reputation standpoint, it would have been over.
His settlement, they said in this summary, topped $20 million in 1993. You're telling me that an innocent person pays someone $20 million to drop a lawsuit? I don't know. To me, if this is an athlete, if this is any dude that plays sports nowadays, on this show, we're roasting him.
We're raking him
over the coals going, no. Where there's smoke, there's fire, and he probably did something, or you don't settle out of court. You know, I mean, we're... But I don't know why we give him a pass, but he's always gotten a pass. Like, his whole career, people just look the other way. Like,
I think he just got through it. He got through it at the right time, and now that he's passed away, no one can really accuse him of anything.
A lot of people, you don't talk bad about the dead. I get that. I mean, people, you don't accuse the dead of things. They're not here to defend themselves. I'm just asking the question, if he was around, do you think it would be different?
I don't.
Okay.
I think
the only reason it would be is if you got someone different, someone new to come up and say, okay, with everything going on these days, I can't let this sit. I can't let this pass. I got to bring this up. I think that might change things.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, when you look at it too, you know what, whether it's right or wrong too, I think a lot of people sympathize and say, well, he never had a childhood. He was mistreated by his parents from a little on. And that's why he wanted to hang out with the kids. And that's why he had the kids for slumber parties at Neverland Ranch or whatever like that. Right or wrong, there's a lot of people that feel that way because they read the stories and they hear about Joe Jackson and they hear about how he was treated and they hear all those things as well. But, I mean, I guess it's an interesting debate to have.
You'll hear judges, though, that will sentence, you know, murder suspects to life or the death sentence, and they will say that a contributing factor is their upbringing, you know, that their father or their mother did a lot of the things to contribute to their behavior, but it doesn't mean you don't lock them up.
Exactly.
And you don't put them away because they could always go back on the street and hurt somebody else. So
yeah,
you can't have sympathy because of that. You know, it's an unfortunate situation if your behavior is a product of, you know, what your parents did to you, but it doesn't mean you don't get punished for it.
Totally agree. Let's say that Bruno Mars, because I just saw my buddy Canise, he was posting and ranting on his Facebook about do not dare compare Bruno Mars to Michael Jackson. It's not even close. But let's say that some allegations come out that Bruno Mars is having a sleepover with a 13-year-old kid. Anybody freaking out about that nowadays? Is that cause for alarm? And, well, everyone's,
you,
like, what?
Your key phrase is nowadays. Nowadays, everyone's on red alert. No, everyone's on red alert because of everything that's going on nowadays. But until you get all the facts out on the table and realize what may or may not have happened, it's all hearsay, it's all innuendo, it's all just assumptions. I don't think you can prosecute Bruno Mars or persecute him for that matter.
I mean, if that story were to break that he was having sleepovers with a 13-year-old kid, that'd be the end of his career. I'm just saying. So, I don't know. I just find it interesting. I mean, we've always given him a pass, and that's even in his death, that hasn't changed.
Why didn't Frank Billingsley put this in his forecast?
What?
Thunderstorm was coming in segment one. Where the hell was that with Doppler radar?
It literally just popped into my head driving down here. Like, why do we give this dude a pass? Like, why is it okay for him?
He's the greatest singer to ever live, right?
Here's the thing. He's not even the best singer
ever. Biggest pop star, basically.
He might be the biggest pop star or entertainer, but as far as singing goes, Michael Jackson was, as an adult, now, Michael Jackson as a kid, you can make the case, you know, he was a great singer. As an adult, I felt like he was just average to above average as a singer.
Really?
Yeah. He made good music, like the beat and the rhythm itself and the way he presented the songs and sang them. But if you were to just listen to him sing, I didn't think it was that good. It wasn't powerful. It wasn't, I don't know. Like, if you listen to Aretha Franklin, go listen to Marvin Gaye sing Heard It Through the Grapevine a cappella, and then listen to Michael Jackson sing anything a cappella, and tell me which one. No, please don't.
So you just, basically hate Michael Jackson. You think he's a bad person. You think he's a crap artist.
I'm not saying
no,
that.
No, we get your point.
I'm just saying, there's two, these are two separate arguments.
He has to be
one of the greatest entertainers of all time. He can dance.
I mean,
he can
you
sing.
Might. Can you make the argument that he may not be the most famous person in the world, but I think he was the most famous person in the world forever.
In the world? Probably.
For a while, I think he was the most famous person in the world.
Yeah.
Like, even more than Michael Jordan and
Tiger Woods.
Sports figures, because I think he was everywhere.
Also, marrying
Elvis Presley's daughter.
That was a total cover-up.
Really?
That was a front.
That was a front, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you
totally.
On that.
It was just like, oh, look, I have a woman.
Everybody wanted
wife.
Birth certificates on presidents and things like that. People
Show
really
that
need to see the DNA test.
But he already
test.
Had a
wait,
bunch
wait,
of girlfriends,
DNA
though.
Tests on the kids, too.
Yeah, that, yeah.
But didn't he have a bunch of girlfriends anyway? Like,
yeah.
Before her?
Yeah, yeah.
Who, Macaulay Culkin? I'm just bringing it full circle for Barry. All right, we're just getting started on The Usual Suspects. Hey, if you want to reach out and touch us from a communication standpoint, HR&P listener line wide open. You can call, you can text 713-780-3776. You can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is Funny. It's a Way Back Wednesday, and a happy birthday to the King of Pop. God, what an entertainer he was. All right, we'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here. Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Little surprise for you. Surprise to us, too, that he was late again.
Oh, God.
Surprise you're this loud.
Lance Zierlein. I'm Patrick Creighton. I'm working on it. Lance Zierlein's going to join us. He was actually doing research of the fact that we want him to be very, very honest with us in terms of Michael Jackson and the cases against him.
Yeah.
And if fondling and other things actually really happened. And we knew if we were going to turn to anybody on this topic.
The expert.
It would be Lance Zierlein.
Wow.
So without further ado, Lance is here.
Well, I wanted to talk football, but then I went on this little rant about Michael Jackson getting a pass.
He does get a pass.
Thank you.
Everyone gives him a pass. It's kind of weird.
I asked the question, if he were alive today, would he still be getting a pass given the current movement? And for an example, if Bruno Mars were accused today of having a sleepover with a 13-year-old boy,
Bruno Mars would not get a pass.
Exactly. But we've always seemed to have given Michael Jackson a pass.
Michael does done crazy stuff in his life.
Yeah.
And Michael
gets
passed.
You mean Macaulay Culkin?
That was a weird one. Having Webster as a pet?
Yes.
Wait, who said he was a pet?
He was just carrying him around at the Grammys one time. Like,
a grown-ass man.
Look, this is Emmanuel Lewis. He's just with me here at the
50.
Grammys. Like, Whipsky. I'm like, what is he walking around with the little kid for? He's like a pet. And there's Brooke Shields and Liz Taylor with him. Like, what kind of...
Maria Presley?
Yeah, what is this
Lisa
weirdo...
Lisa Marie.
Oh, whatever. Lisa Marie,
he gives
whatever.
A kiss to her that no one was believing.
No.
Then his doctor comes out. Did you see the thing with his doctor, the one who injected him with the stuff that actually killed him? Did you see what he said? That his dad burned off his genitalia or something like that, or his stuff, so that he would keep a high voice for all of his life.
Oh, that I was I alluded to it.
Because
Joe Jackson treated him like garbage.
Whoa.
That's his penis right there.
What is this?
So
what
I was looking
side
at this,
are you on?
I was looking at this article about the kid that had accused him and he had talked to the police and he said he's circumcised, he has pink and brown testicles. He has short pubic hair. So then they go back, and all of that was true except for the fact that he's uncircumcised.
Oh,
and then they were
dismissed.
Like, but then they were like, well, but did he see what? How did he
see
circumcise?
It was circumstantial.
So
fair. I see what you did.
See,
he just took the joke I did at the break, but that's all right.
Hey, whoever said it first.
Whoever said it first wins. Whoever says it first wins.
Now, Joel is stealing jokes. This is what we've come to, Joel. What damn it!
What is his name? Who did that all the time?
Carlos Mencia.
Carlos Mencia. Yeah. Yeah. We use him all the time.
Yeah.
So he does get a pass, and it's weird. He's the only one that would get this kind of pass. Like I always get upset that Chris Brown gets a pass for beating up.
Yes.
I'm like, how does he get...
Multiple occasions, including that one. Was it on the Good Morning America where he like threw the chair out of the second floor window when he got so upset?
Honestly, I can't believe Chris Brown's still doing any music that people... And people defend him. But R. Kelly did not get a pass, nor should he have. But neither one of those guys should have got passes. There's a lot of people who shouldn't get...
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, but he shouldn't. I mean, he shouldn't get a pass. And it was underage girls. And he shouldn't get a pass either. But when you look at Michael Jackson, it's almost – I've thought about the same thing before.
I was thinking about
Michael
it on the way
Jackson,
in. It's just
– most people would never be able to that's supposed to be the one that's untouchable.
Yeah.
Pedophilia is like you don't come back from that. And yet Michael Jackson somehow came back from those charges.
He paid almost $20 million to settle out of court with that kid.
Still,
to me, that says a lot.
Just
I mean,
like
it wasn't
the pass you're talking about, too. The other thing that I think that they gave him a pass on that I was telling Barry in the break, when you dangle an infant from like a fifth-story balcony over the edge of the balcony by just the armpits and people don't absolutely lose their minds...
Wow.
You're like,
baby
come
blanket?
On, man.
Yes. Blanket.
I guess they gave him a pass.
His daughter's really good looking. Have you seen his daughter?
Yeah, she's good, modeling now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She...
All right. So the news just broke about Aaron Rodgers. Was it worth it?
Well, I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
That's the thing. As soon as somebody gets something, and this is at least the second time that Aaron Rodgers has been extended once somebody else was making more than him.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford was the first one, or? I don't remember
who it was.
Ben?
I can't remember, but I know Breeze has been there before, and Rodgers has. I just find it weird that you have to always, like, your contract, just have it written in your contract that every time a new contract comes out, you're going to make $1 million more than whatever. You might as well do that.
Well, like, everybody thought that I was sending up fireworks and flares today like I was giddy, and I was, but it had nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. The fact that they got Brett Hundley out of town made me happy beyond belief.
That was the
big news. They traded him to the Seahawks.
Oh, okay.
Because he, Lance, is an athletic quarterback. And he's going to a situation where he's going to be backing up an athletic quarterback in Russell Wilson. So it looks like a good fit.
It's racist.
On paper, yeah.
Yeah, just like on Tampa paper. With Jameis Winston.
He's not accurate. He's not accurate. I don't think Hundley's a very good quarterback.
That's exactly why the fireworks went off at my house today. I was happy to get rid of him.
I mean, Rodgers, you knew was going to – what is it? Every time somebody makes money, Aaron Rodgers got to get his. I guess he got $103 million guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think people fully recognize
the fact that
what Kirk Cousins,
you know what the signing
is like
bonus
Kirk
was?
Flood.
You know what the signing bonus was? The minute he put the pen on the paper today, 54.5.
That's ridiculous.
54.5 goes into his bank account, but it's $103 million guaranteed.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
People don't recognize what Kirk Cousins did. I'm not even really joking. That is going to be Kurt Flood stuff where it is going to change the scope of the NFL deal, which has long been beaten up by players for not having more guaranteed money. Kirk Cousins got his entire thing guaranteed.
Yeah.
And this is Kirk Cousins, not even considered a tier one quarterback. Aaron Rodgers just got over $103 million guaranteed. This is going to change the NFL with more and more money becoming guaranteed, which means you can't miss on contracts. In the NFL, in baseball and basketball, they already know Man, yeah. you have a dumb contract. You are going to pay a long time for that.
Wasn't the NFL due for this? I mean, they were the only sport where
they're due for more money guaranteed. Yep. Yeah, these guys go through more physical
and than any sport. I mean, maybe hockey, but
yeah, they have. And you CTE. Remember? You ever hear about CTE in basketball or baseball?
Rarely.
No,
rarely.
I have never heard of it.
And legitimately, they don't test for that kind of stuff in basketball. And you wonder why some of these guys come in and they're the size that they are. They don't test like other sports.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
I had somebody tell me that in basketball that they think players, at least in the past, have used.
That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I never really thought about it.
No question about it. But and I was shocked by that when I was still working for the team, and I started asking questions. Do they test? And
No, they don't. And I heard a prominent power forward in the golden era of basketball. His name was mentioned as someone that is suspected of using.
I don't know about the power forward position. I know that someone that's highly athletic, that has very physical, strong characteristics, can jump out of the gym and can do a lot of things athletically.
Well, you said athletic, so you must have meant black.
No,
he meant Birdman. Anderson.
Yeah. I heard Larry Bird, in the filming of the McDonald's commercials playing horse, literally had his quarter pounder with cheese injected.
Most athletic white guy you know.
Ooh.
I'll tell you who it used to be. Rex Chapman.
Okay. Rex has got the 40-inch vertical leap right now.
Rex Chapman would be one of the most.
But what about now?
Right now. Now, are you narrowing it to a specific sport? Does it have to be football?
No.
Basketball?
No. Anything. Most athletic white guy. It's not Bregman.
No, it's not Bregman. It's got to be in the NFL, right?
I don't know. I mean, one would think.
Yeah.
Most athletic, most explosive. When I say athletic, I mean agile, explosive.
Strong.
Speed.
Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's not bad.
Yeah.
I was thinking about McCaffrey just now. I think there's going to be more like Jeff Janis.
From the Browns, yeah, he used to be with the Packers.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal athlete.
Is he really?
Oh.
He's not, I mean, we don't even see him on Hard Knocks. He's not even registering on the Browns depth chart.
Jeff Janis is a tremendous athlete. There's guys like that that won't even measure because they're not,
right?
You know, they're not star players. There's got to be a basketball player.
Travis Kelce?
He's a good athlete.
I think he's a good athlete for his size.
Yeah, not the fastest.
So I just Googled fastest white guy in the NFL.
It's got to be Troy Apke. Right?
Troy Apke tested well.
Yeah.
He tested well at the combine. He actually tested well on a lot of stuff.
Did he?
But yeah, I don't feel like. Let me see him make a team.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to make a team before we're calling you one of the most. Or we would be talking about somebody who won a dunk contest for Sprite.
You're right. Thinking about Dallas Keuchel and the body issue? Is that where you were going with this?
I think that. If we're talking about most athletic white, it's not Tyler White.
No.
I don't think.
Oh, Lord.
It's not Evan Gattis. Look at, I said this morning, Tyler White is just waiting to get married. He's got dad he's locked into dad right now. He just needs some kids. Look how dadded up he is.
My mother-in-law is watching the game last night going, oh, he's portly.
Yeah.
She didn't want to say fat.
Yeah, he's a dad. Hey, look at him. He's everything about him screams dad. And what's her name? Iggy Azalea is already off of DeAndre Hopkins and maybe on to Jimmy Butler. I'm like, can Tyler White get a shot? Why can't Tyler White get a shot?
That's
immediately what Granato said. You kidding me with that ass? He couldn't deal with that ass. Granato went right to it.
You want to get on Iggy's ass? Who doesn't?
Yeah, I'm like, you don't know what Tyler White can handle. And why didn't she just settle down and get with a guy who's, you know, ready to have kids and ready to start playing, you know, dad pitch little league? That's Tyler White. Right now, could stop playing baseball, go straight to dad pitch, and everything would look normal.
Your dad was an offensive line coach for a long time. Did he know the guy with the Browns?
Bob Wiley, yeah.
Bob Wiley?
Think he thinks he's playing up some of the.
He's hamming it up a little bit.
You know when you're wired. My dad was on All or Nothing, the Hulu show that they did with the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. You know, it's their version, and he's like, I've avoided the camera like crazy.
Because
Highsmith been on.
He won last week.
Yeah,
He walked into Dorsey's office last week and said, hey, man, I remember when I was with the Cowboys, and this team has the same kind of traits. It's got the same kind of feelings. It's got the same kind of energy.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, we see you. We're going to get to you next segment. Before we let you go, favorite Michael Jackson song of all time?
You Are Not Alone?
No, it's got to be off. It might be Off the Wall.
Off the Wall?
Yeah, I was a big Off the Wall. I mean, Thriller was great, too, but I loved the song Off the Wall. I would play it in my room when I was a little kid. And then off Thriller, I mean, Billie Jean was just so iconic.
Yeah, Billie Jean.
I've got a lot. I mean, yeah, there's other ones, too, the Rod
Temperton.
But if you picked
one, it'd be Off the Wall.
But, yeah, I would say Off the Wall, okay, probably, because it was so different sounding than anything
else. I'm with you. Lisa and I had this conversation in the car this morning when we heard it on Sirius that it was Michael Jackson's birthday. And I was like, I'd probably pick something off the Wall.
Yeah, Off the Wall was awesome. I mean, Thriller was the best, but Off the Wall to me. Once he got to Bad Michael Jackson, 87, I'm Bad, and I was...
That's when he started to lose it, too. But when he bridged the Jackson 5 stuff and got off the wall, it showed, hey, he ain't going away.
Oh, I was big Michael Jackson. I had a Michael Jackson poster in my room.
Nice.
For whatever reason, I had a bunch of posters roll up to my house at COD. My parents were like, what are this? Like, oh, you got to pay for these. I ordered these. It's back when you could do cash on delivery.
Yeah, like the 13 CDs for a penny.
I had a Clyde. Yeah, I had an Isaiah Thomas poster, Magic. I had a Clyde and a Dominique Wilkins. And then I just had Michael Jackson poster out of nowhere. I'm like, stapled them up on my wall.
It's a very eclectic mix.
Yep. Staples help you when you're getting ready to sell the house, too.
Yeah, I don't care. I tore my house up.
That's Lance Zierlein. We appreciate him joining us. You can catch him every morning on the bench. We'll be back with more of The Usual Suspects at ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. I'm getting the finger guns from my partner in crime, Joseph Blank. Wearing the glove, too. Oh, boy, you got to go to the stream. Can we just rewind that and put the hip thrusts on a loop, please? That was awesome. Speaking of awesome, thanks to Lance Zierlein for joining us.
I wouldn't go awesome, but yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what else? Let's give something away. How awesome is that? How about a Brouhaha Grand Tasting? Huh? Huh? This weekend, thrill your taste buds at the 9th Annual Brewmasters Craft Beer Festival. Now's your chance to win 2 tickets to Saturday's Brouhaha Grand Tasting, September 1st. It all goes down at Moody Gardens Convention Center. Featuring hundreds of domestic, international, and local Texas specialty craft brews, the Brouhaha Grand Tasting is your chance to sample some of the best beer in the world. If you need more information or just have to get your tickets now, log on to brewmastersbeerfest.com. We'll take caller number 9, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, caller number 9, 2 tickets to the Brouhaha Grand Tasting. Good luck. Godspeed.
Brouhaha.
Is that your Oompa Loompa?
Well, not Oompa Loompa.
Or,
but
what
don't
is it, polka? Oh, I don't know. We should take Matt's call. He's been holding for a long time.
That's fine.
Can we do that while callers are winning?
Yeah.
Cool. Matt wants to talk best vocals. Matt, what's up?
Yeah, just real quick, man. Y'all brought it up, but I got something sports to talk about, but for my money, my vocals is going to go to Freddie Mercury and Chris Cornell. Just that the voices they have with just so minimal effort. I got to see Chris Cornell live a couple times, and he would always do it. It just looked like he was half asleep when he did it, and it was just incredible.
So, so Freddie Mercury is a good choice too, though. He could,
can't argue against that.
He could blow
when you compare against my.
See what you did there.
Okay. All right.
But sports-wise, anybody excited about Triple G Canelo like me, or are we just kind of done with the boxing politics?
I am. I'm pumped.
Fight? Yeah.
Nick is going.
What do they have your name as on the ticket? Shanella?
See, no one asked for that information.
But, yeah, Nick is going. I mean, look, Matt, if I'm being honest with you, I like boxing. I used to be a boxing purist. I mean, I used to follow back in like when Zab Judah and was kind of getting his start. I was really into boxing, and so that was the heyday of the Ward Gotti fights, the Ward Gotti trilogy, and all that. But I kind of moved away from boxing, man. It lost its Don King ruined boxing for me, if I'm being honest. So I don't watch a ton of it, but I am excited when there is a good boxing match that comes up. So yes, I'm excited about this one. You, I take you are fan.
Yeah, me, I am. As long as it doesn't go to the judges, I don't see a way that either one of those fighters can, unless they're all on the pay, they're all getting some money in this one.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that because you don't trust the judges in boxing, right?
I haven't trusted them for a long time. I'm like you, I'm a boxing purist. When you talk about Zab Judah, I immediately think of, man, he had Mayweather in serious trouble before he lost
yeah.
his mind.
Yeah.
And I think about Gotti and Ward and how great those were, and they had no intentions on either of those fights going to the judges. If they go in there with the mindset of, no way I'm going to let this go to the judges, then I think you got a great fight.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm looking for – appreciate the phone call. Is that all you got, bud?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool, Matt. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it because I want to move on from this era of, you know, Floyd Mayweather. I know we kind of have moved on, but moved on to where there's only two or three stars. I want more trilogies. I want more rivalries.
Think about how great boxing why I want to move used on with to be that. In all the different weight classes when you had Hearns, you had Leonard.
Real quick, who's the heavyweight champion of the world, Joel?
No clue.
Exactly. That's the problem with boxing to the point you're making right now, Nick.
I want more stars.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want more stars, and that's the problem. And that's the reason why I'm looking forward to this because it was a draw, but if you can build some sort of rivalry and if you can build some sort of trilogy, and it's kind of difficult when Canelo doesn't speak English, at least in this country, it's hard to develop that rivalry. But if you can just build new stars, it changes the dynamic of the game so much.
And get them to fight, if there's a trilogy or whatever it is, in their heyday, right? Don't get it after the fact. Because when Mayweather finally fought Pacquiao, it was like no one was jacked up because they're like, this is going to be... They're both way past where they should be when this should have happened. This is terrible.
And now there's a new beef going on, Twitter beef or whatever beef, reignited again between Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. And that just means that I feel like another fight is happening.
Oh, God.
Floyd Mayweather doesn't want
to
fight anybody but him
cash grab.
Because it's easy for him. Yeah. And he knows he can't beat anybody else. And Conor McGregor's obviously going to, you know, take that fight. Yeah, obviously has a fight with Khabib first.
I don't need to see that again. I certainly don't.
I don't.
But the point you were making and what I was asking Joel, there was a time in boxing that everyone knew who the heavyweight champion of the world was.
Yep.
Everyone knew that. And even when the Klitschko brothers, that's about when it started to fade. And boxing, for me, started to fade. There was this just perfect storm of crap that went on in boxing that drove people away. And the UFC's timing couldn't have been better. MMA was becoming big. K1 was becoming big. So people just naturally, if you were a combat sports fan, a lot of people migrated away from boxing. Don't get me wrong. There's still boxing purists and people that love the sport and always will, like Matt. But a lot of us gravitated away and to what
it was more
felt
compelling.
Like a more pure form of fighting. And you really didn't have to worry about fixed fights and the promoter being the centerpiece of the sport.
And you're right about Don King too, because Don King got a lot of people left a lot of bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. Going, come on, man.
Yeah.
Because you think about to Nick your point, which is spot on, which was you went from Ali to Holmes to George Foreman, then you got Tyson, and then Tyson Spinks was a big deal, and then you had all that, and then in the meantime, you still had Hearns and Leonard, and then you got even De La Hoya. You had all these big personalities, these big names, and all that stuff. And it just, you're right, Barry. At a certain point, it just all went away.
Yeah, it got bad, but it doesn't get bad. Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen, always good, always delicious. Gosh, I love this place. I was thinking about trying to get out there before I leave town for Wichita. Weather's probably going to prevent that from happening and some other stuff on my schedule. But, guys, I'm telling you right now, if you have not been to Cowboys and Indians, first of all, you just need to go ahead, punch yourself in the face for wasting so much time getting out there. Then get out there and check it out and enjoy the food. I think you're going to love it. And don't forget, just right off the bat, I want to remind you, today is Wednesday, and Wednesday is trivia night at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. So, also, if you want to see some of the food that they have, and I'm not even playing with you, just go to Instagram, type in CNI71. 1013. You don't even need to have Instagram on your phone. You can just go to a web browser, type in Instagram.com, and then look up CNI713 and check out the food that they have at Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. My favorite when I get out there, my favorite meal is as follows. I start off with an order of the non-quesadillas. If you don't know what that is, that's quesadillas made with non-bread. And if you mention that you heard it from me, they'll give you 20% off of those right off the top. Then you get the Himalayan Heat Burger, one of the best burgers in the city of Houston, hands down. I'll put it up against just about every burger in the city. I at least think that you'll add it to your list of must-haves once you try it. So I go quesadillas, is Himalayan Heat Burger, and then I finish it off with the red velvet cake. That's my go-to order when I go to Cowboys and Indians. I think if you get that, you'll probably take the cake home. They serve a lot of food. The portions are huge, but it's all delicious. And don't forget, man, some of the best butter chicken in the city, they're known for that. And the Indian food, all those recipes passed down through Haas's family over the generations and perfected by Haas and his crew right there in the kitchen. Full service bar, TVs everywhere so you can watch the game and you can have Cowboys and Indians delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. CNI 713 on Facebook, 1901 Taft in Midtown. Whatever you do, make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel having some fun. Here.
This dancing has gotten ridiculous.
Yo, that was the best Michael
Between
Jackson.
Between the both of you,
that was
I
the
add.
Best thriller you'll ever see.
Remember when the video came out?
On.
That's when MTV was the
was end
all
on.
Be all, yep. And everybody had to get home from school for that 3 o'clock debut of Michael Jackson's Thriller,
yep.
Vincent Price, and the long version, and all of that.
Indeed.
Clarence has just tweeted the show, SportsCenter, hey, saying the Jets have agreed to trade Teddy Bridgewater to the Saints.
Ooh, juicy.
Why? Yeah. Why, oh, why, unless it's the quarterback of the future, the heir apparent to Drew Brees?
It's funny because when I was doing my part of the rundown for the show, my news and notes from the NFL, one of them was the fact that going in, it looked like Bridgewater was going to be the starter because no deal was getting done. And they couldn't deny the fact that he's really performed better than anyone else in camp. They liked McCown, the fact that he was kind of the veteran stopgap if something were to happen and he wasn't terrible. And obviously Donald is the future for that organization. But a lot of folks seem to think that if he didn't get traded that week one, Teddy Bridgewater was going to be the starter. But if what Clarence is saying is true and what SportsCenter is saying is true, looks like they don't have to worry about that anymore.
Or at least they found their guy.
Yeah,
and for the present,
and I
right
tell you
now,
what, Saints
they
got a hell of a backup.
Yeah, they sure did.
Hell of a backup.
And believe me, like I said, take it from me. The greatest news of the day from Packerland is Brett Hundley is no longer in Green Bay. Because I'm telling you, when Rodgers went down, the Packers had no chance of going anywhere with Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
That's how valuable and look no further than the Super Bowl champs.
Yep.
Without Nick Foles, that doesn't happen.
It is important. Your backup position can be very important on most teams because you figure a lot of guys are going to miss some time. I mean, it's football. Guys are going to get banged up. So just to wrap up a couple of loose ends from our first couple of segments before we get into some more sports discussion. Mm-hmm. So some people were tweeting us their favorite singers or texting their favorite singers or people that they felt like got a pass. One that came up that we didn't mention, obviously, because it's just Michael Jackson Day. It's his birthday.
Right.
But R. Kelly was another one. that
Lance brought him up.
He got a pass, but to a certain degree. I don't feel like no one's ever forgiven R. Kelly. His career has never been the same since he peed on that woman, allegedly.
Right. And they still, to this day, are picketing and bringing it up. And, yeah, that's not something he's going to outlive over time or have it go away.
Yep. And then somebody, Aaron McGiblets, tweeted me the James Hetfield's singing of Fuel, and it's a cappella. Pretty legit. Sounds pretty badass. Still my all-time favorite. For me, singer-wise, I know that, you know, some people say Michael Jackson, and Matt earlier said Freddie Mercury. It's, for me, it's Marvin Gaye. Best pure singing voice, Marvin Gaye.
I'm just going to say, with the multi-talented ways he used it, I'll say Stevie Wonder.
It's not a bad choice.
Yeah.
Not a bad choice. And I would listen to any and all arguments for Aretha Franklin, because that woman could sing her butt off. Like, there was a time, Andy Huggins was telling me a story about how somebody like Dionne Warwick or somebody really good had did a version of a song, and they were like, oh, nailed it. And then Aretha did it, and they were like, we didn't nail it. That wasn't even close. Like, she just had the uncanny ability to just take something and make it so much better than anybody else could.
And the one that's not going to get enough love because of the way her career kind of ended and everything that happened along the way. But Whitney Houston had one hell of a voice.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey has an incredible voice.
Yep.
So, you know, and hers is how many different octaves she can hit, too. But, you know, again, a lot of that
her range is crazy.
Yeah, a lot of it gets kind of poo-pooed on because of the way that things happen in their lives.
Somebody said, didn't Mike Tyson and Tupac go to jail for rape? Tyson makes millions still, and Tupac is a legend. Yeah. Yeah, I felt like they probably got a pass too. Another bad route by an A's.
He caught it.
Yeah, but it was a horrible route.
Incredible catch.
Horrible route.
He had a chance. Laureano had a chance to do what he did 2-3 weeks ago and throw a guy out from the warning track after an incredible catch. Couldn't do the same thing again, but man, after he hosed George Springer last night, and I'm telling you right now, that was a bad base running error by George Springer last night that cost them dearly. But overall, this was an Astros prospect in AA a year ago, and the kid, regardless of offensively, and he's hitting over 300.
Actually, you know what? Seeing the replay, that was actually a pretty good route to that ball. When I looked up, it looked like he was making a semicircle. Cannon. Yeah, no, that was actually legit. That was legit.
So the Astros are up 2-0.
Yep.
That's good.
And Mitch said most athletic white guy is easily Michael Phelps.
Eh. It's not a bad.
Somebody had mentioned Luke Kuechly,
the linebacker from Carolina.
And then I was going to say Jason Williams, and someone texted that as well, but the stipulation was they had to be current. So Jason Williams
Mike
was
Trout.
Off the board. Oh, Mike Trout was another one.
Yeah, Mike Trout's a good
another
one.
solid choice.
Yep. So I don't know if you watched the game last night, but
I did.
I watched all of it, stuck it out, and I just had a bad feeling late in the game. But then once the Springer base running blunder happened, I was like, they're going to find a way to blow this.
Yeah, the Springer base running thing. I believe I kind of heard, I had it on in the background in the post game, and I think AJ talked about the fact that, you know, we can't make those kind of mistakes, but I want George to be aggressive, and he's going to make that, you know, a lot of times he's going to be in there. You just knew he was going to be out, just like when Reddick got thrown out at second base. You just knew, don't try to, you can kind of tell if you're paying attention that if these guys are going to make it or not. And that one, it really wasn't even close.
No.
That's the problem.
You know these guys, just like they know how to pitch certain guys, how to play certain guys. You know, just like we see on the broadcast, thanks to AT&T Sportsnet, who has a cannon in the outfield, who doesn't. You run on Piscotty, you don't run on Laureano, and yet, the written rule of baseball is you don't make the first out at third base, especially in a tie ball game. And, you know, the single up the middle, and you're like, okay, I understand you want to make a play for your team, but that guy has a hose. The ball was on the ground, and it just didn't make a lot of sense.
No, it didn't.
But he did save Morton a couple times.
Oh, defensively, Springer did, yeah, no question about it. No, I'm not taking anything away from him because he had a hit early. He made two great plays defensively.
Right.
But I think even if you asked Springer if he had it all to do over again, he probably wouldn't do that.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. But I had mentioned on, I tweeted out, and it's funny. I got a lot of pushback from Astros Twitter that I was wrong about it, but I was like, whatever. But it's a kind of a letdown when you get into a game, you come back again. Two nights in a row now, you've been behind to a division rival. You come back, you tie it up. And then the guy that you went out that was your big trade acquisition blows a game that's really important in the division where you're now you've gained ground and you just give it all back and won at bat. And, I mean, people were saying, oh, yeah, but Springer had a bad at bat and this, that, and the other. I get it, but you don't expect – if you want to blame, you know, maybe Davinsky coming in or Harris giving up the run, but this is a guy you went after and took a chance on. You want him to be solid. I mean, you want that – it's – If you blow a game to the Angels or something like that, that's a different story. But these are the games that are the most important.
You got rid of Ken Giles.
All I said was that sucks. It just sucks that it happened that way.
You got rid of Ken Giles.
Yeah.
But you didn't get rid of the lack of trust. Because obviously when you look at the fact that before they turned it over to Osuna, that they were going to Rondon. Rondon blew two saves out of three opportunities a week or so ago.
Yep.
So then AJ goes and says it's going to be Osuna, and Osuna blows a couple. So there's not that level of confidence when a closer comes in, but we can talk Astros and a whole lot more if you want in hour number two. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.